when you hear that music, that's not Sammy Hagar or Van Halen. It means it's time for us to break open God's Word in the Psalms. Right? So we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, a liturgical psalter approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops and put together by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And today we're going to look at one of the stanzas from the longest psalm, Psalm 119. And, you know, this psalm is in book five of the Psalms. It's broken up into 22 sections, each of the sections representing one of the letters of the Jewish alphabet. So today we're looking at Psalm 119. We're looking at Zion, right? So Zion is the seventh letter of the Jewish alphabet. And we're going to be taking a look at the Zion section of Psalm 119. That's verses 49 to 56, right? So if you have your Bibles up, verses 49 to 56. You know, quickly, one thing that has come up in the Psalms is that someone said that this, in my version, you keep seeing this word, Selah. Right, it'll say a psalm, and they'll say Selah, Selah, Selah. What is that? Okay, that's a good question. I don't know if I've ever explained that before. So actually, they pronounce it Selah, but actually, it's not pronounced Selah. Right. So Selah actually is the word that's used in Genesis chapter 2 for the word that for rib. Selah means side, but it looks like Selah when you transliterate it into English, but it's actually pronounced Selau, like a O-W, Selau, O-W, right? And that means exalt, right? So it means exalt, raise with praise, right? So that's the meaning behind that word. So it occurs 35 or 36 times in the Psalms. And it's just, again, it's just a word that means exalt or raise or rise up in praise, that kind of thing. All right. So let's start with, again, Psalm 119, Zion, which starts at verse 49. Remember your word to your servant by which you made me hope. This is my comfort in sorrow, that your promise gives me life. Man, you know, I love Psalm 119. Because remember, Psalm 119 is a meditation on God's law. So all of these strophes from Aleph all the way through to Tau at the end, all are a meditation on God's law. So remember your word to your servant. Remember, God, your promise that you made to your people by which you give me hope. That's what our hope lies in. It lies in God's promise. It lies in this covenant relationship that God is inviting us to. That's where our hope lies, right? Not in anything in this world, not anything that I can produce, not anything that tries to make me God, right? It recognizing that God is the one who provides that hope and his extending his relationship of intimacy with us. This is my comfort and sorrow, that your promise gives me life. So God's word and God's promise is life-giving, right? Is life-giving. You know, I had this past weekend, in Mass, it was a meditation. All the readings focus on God's law. Right, the law. Remember the gospel. Well, how come your apostles, disciples eat with unwashed hands and that kind of thing? And Jesus was not so much angry about the law. It wasn't the law that was the issue. It was the fact that he calls them hypocrites because they were telling people about the law, but they weren't living the spirit of the law. They were more focused on the letter of the law. So I talked about how God's law is better than our law, and I gave an example of stem cell research. I said how 14 laboratories or 14 research centers in California were given $210 million to study stem cell research. And what's interesting, 10 out of the 14 research labs, this is California now, 10 out of the 14 research labs, 71%, were focusing on adult stem cells only. Now, I was mentioning the homily. Now, that I said that may surprise some of you because you always hear that, well, the future is fetal stem cells. Well, the problem is that fetal stem cells are not stable, and they could become cancerous. And so the adult stem cells, which are derived from fetal cord blood or bone marrow or skin cells, are called pluripotent cells. They could be dialed back to what they were like in the womb, and they could become any cell. And there's certain right now there are 73 diseases that are being treated with adult stem cells, 73 and growing. That's why the research labs are focusing on adult stem cells. There's no cures with fetal stem cells, none. In the next 10 years, they don't expect any cures. So I said the score is 73 to nothing. Why are we still killing babies? Why are we still taking the lives of innocent children when the score is 73 to 9? I said, God's law is always better than human law. Well, there was someone who didn't like what I said, and I can tell, first of all, the body language changed, and then they got out of my line for community and went to Father's line, and then I was greeting people, and they went out another entrance so they wouldn't have to walk past me. So, I mean, they were upset, but, you know, I'm here to preach the truth in love. There's some righteous anger there to take an innocent life. And again, it's God, as we heard this off, God's promise is what gives us life. Not some messing around with fetal stem cells and destroying children. That's not life-giving at all. Though the proud may, it continues, though the proud may utterly deride me, I do not turn from your law. I love that. That he has the courage to say, look, people are not going to like me, because I'm not afraid to speak up for you, God. Just like my homily this Sunday. Some people didn't like the example I used for fetal stem cells, and they took exception to that. So what? You know, you don't want the Catholic faith? The Anglican Church is down the street. You're most welcome. Though the proud may utterly deride me, I do not turn from your law. So despite what people say about me, and despite the fact that I'm not afraid to stand up for my faith, I'm not going to turn away from your law. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to become a cafeteria Catholic. I'm not going to be just someone that just, again, like the Pharisees, the law is good, but they are hypocrites because they're not living the spirit of the law, just focusing on the letter of the law. When I remember your judgments of old, these, O Lord, console me. Why? Because God's judgments are timeless. Right, like what Ace was talking about before. There are songs back in that Motown time that, you know, the four-part harmonies and all that. But you know, they were done in a particular era, but they're timeless. People are still to this day listening to those songs from back then. And it's the same thing. God's law is timeless, and that's why they give me consolation now. Because God's law doesn't change.
Well, and a lot of times I feel like, especially as we tie this into our discussion on social media, is everybody's on the edge waiting to be offended by the things that we do or say. And even if we're right, they're looking for us to be wrong, because if they can discredit us, then in some way they can get away with whatever lifestyle or whatever, you know, options in their life that they've chosen. And again, that's between them and God. You can argue with, I'm not going to argue with you. Like, I'm going to show you the truth, and then you can choose to believe it or not. But again, when everyone is waiting to be offended, we as believers have to be ready with chill to not be, because if we're balking, I don't feel like that opens a door for us to be able to, you know, marry the two together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the principle that comes out of what you're saying is that it's not about being right or wrong. It's about what's true and what's not true.
Sure.
You know, so what I did this weekend, I spoke the truth in love, but some people don't want to hear that.
Well, you're dynamic,
they got their politics over their faith.
Yeah.
You know, so they may say, oh, yeah, that sounds right, but I am a particular political party, so I have to think this way, which is, to me, is slavery. But anyway,
agreed.
It goes on. I am seized with indignation at the wicked who forsake your law, right? Because that's scandalous, especially when Catholics violate God's law, right? We're not living the faith that they profess. Your statutes have become my song. wherever I dwell. Ah, I love that. So it's God's statutes, God's law that permeates our hearts. And it ends. I remember your name in the nighttime, and I keep your law. Even when I'm asleep, even when I'm drowsy, even when I'm not at my best, your law is still in my heart, Lord. This has been my lot, for I have kept your precepts. Right? So whatever vocation we're called to, whatever state in life we're called to, we keep the promises, the precepts of the Lord, and the Lord will be faithful in his love for us.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.